to the pulpit. My mighty man of God. Who's got a mighty man of God in their life? Amen. Come on up, share the word of God.
Beautiful. Why don't we give the creative team a hand? So take a seat. Fan. You doing well? So good to have you here. If you're here, it means that you're not at the Sydney to serve. So you're the ones that just didn't want to. Who's done the Sydney to serve? It's on today, is that right? Am I correct? Who's done the Sydney to serve? Raise your hands. Come on. Who did it in the last? Who did it in the last year? Keep your hand raised. Last 5 years. Last 10 years. Oh, for everyone, next is our young. It's our youth program that goes on a Sunday morning. So follow the youth leader at the back there. Give us a wave, Madeline, as they head out there. Have a great time. Well, yeah, I did it once quite a few years ago, many, many moons ago. Yeah, it was painful. That's all I can say. And I brought brand new runners for the Sydney to surf. You don't do that. So I had to pull over and they had to bandage and all the back of my new Nikes were covered in blood. And they bandaged it up and I spent there. And I still did it in 62 minutes, but I was a little bit younger. Let's keep moving. So I'm going to get back onto the topic. We're now on a topic of just growth. And I guess the key word that I've been talking about is the word sanctification. Everyone say sanctification. It sounds like quite a complicated term, but in reality, it just comes down to explaining the process and the way that God is growing you. Amen? You get saved, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that's amazing. But the reality is God is continually doing a work in your life. And he's quite selfish because he's working in your life so that he can use you. Amen? And when you put that in our language of today, God is a user. God doesn't do what he's doing in your life for just you. Amen? If you want to tap into a Christianity where somehow someone has told you that everything God does in your life is so that you can just have a blessed life and just you, your family, and your 3.5 kids and your spoodle just can have a really good life, God is not into that. I said spoodle because I have a spoodle. Who else has a spoodle? Who has a cavoodle? There's a whole bunch of oodles. I can't go through them all. God has said, his process of sanctification has a purpose in your life. The byproduct of God working in your life is that your life will be blessed. Amen? But that is not the intent and purpose of God's work in your life. You can't read the Bible and just think that Jesus just walked this earth or the disciples walked this earth and allowed God to walk through them so that they could just have the best homes and best life. True? The reality is that God wants to work in our lives, release us of things because he wants to use us. Everyone say, I want God to use me. And I wonder sometimes if that really is the cry of the Western world. We say it all the time, God use us. But quite often when we want to allow God to do that, we've got to realize that there's quite a bit about us that needs to change before God can. Amen? So sanctification is what we've been talking about. And I think when as soon as God starts to work inside of you, he starts to work on areas of your life. We talked a lot about forgiveness because I think forgiveness, in my understanding, is one of the greatest blockages to God working in you. The reality is if you have not come to a place of the three areas of forgiveness, if you have not come to a place of understanding God's forgiveness of you, then number one, you can't be saved without understanding that. If you don't think you need forgiving from God, then I can tell you, you're not saved. Amen? I know that's harsh, But if some reason you think, I don't need saving, I don't need God's forgiveness, then the reality is you haven't come to a full knowledge of salvation. Because if you've come to a full knowledge of salvation, you realize that you are wretched in your sin, amen, and that you need saving and you need God's forgiveness and his righteousness, amen. And there's people out there, and I guess the thing is that they think, they wander around thinking, yes, God loves me, but do they know that they need saving? Don't ever just tell your friends that are unsaved that God loves you. Because they can actually wander away thinking, well, God loves me, and I'm staying in my sin, and I don't need saving, and it's all good with me. But the reality is, no matter how good you think you are, you're not good enough without Jesus' righteousness. Amen? I don't care. You might have given more money to charity. You might be serving in a church. You might be serving the community. You might be running some sort of overseas program, looking after 40 orphans in your home and 600 stray dogs. All those deeds amount to nothing without the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's that concept. And then, of course, forgiving ourselves is a big blockage. A lot of people won't forgive themselves. And my statement to you is, if Jesus can forgive you, you have no right to not forgive yourself. Are you better than him? Forgive yourself. I don't care what you have done. And I mean that you've got to come under that understanding that you need to forgive yourself. And the third area of forgiveness we talked about is understanding you need to forgive others. You don't forgive others because they need forgiving. And your forgiveness of someone else doesn't justify what they've done. You only forgive others because Jesus Christ said you need to. Amen? And sometimes you've got to realize that that's going to be loaded into your spirit, and you've got to realize the motivation for forgiveness. Because I think if without forgiveness, there's Christians wandering around, they might understand the forgiveness of God, but they don't understand the forgiveness of themselves, and they don't understand the forgiveness of others. And they're locked up. So we walked through that. And then we talked about sanctification. We talked about the process. And I want to continue with that. We opened the door to talking about the process of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because we talk about the Holy Spirit in such a powerful way. And quite often in a church, we display the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We have words of knowledge. We talk about prophecy. We talk about the miraculous. We talk about incredible things that the Holy Spirit's involved in. But quite often, we don't understand and don't realize that the Holy Spirit's one of his key roles in your life is in the process of sanctification. Amen. He is constantly working to change you, to equip you to be more like Christ. And I think sometimes for us as believers, if we've slowed down in our growth in God, if we haven't seen ourselves being as transformed as we used to in the past, sometimes it's the friends around you that are the first to tell you how much you've changed. Amen? Your family members, isn't that right? They're the ones you can't fool. They see you day to day. Your spouse, those around you. God wants us to continually change, become better people. And one of the greatest benefits of being a Christian, a real Christian, someone who's in relationship with Christ, is you don't stop growing. Amen? The average person out there in the secular world, outside of God, as a young person, your heart and your mind, your emotions are open to growth. And you grow through your teenage years and what have you. But generally, by about the age of 23, psychology tells us that you start to stop your process of learning new things and changing behaviors and habits. It doesn't come that easily. Amen? And quite often what people do is they actually start going the other way. And that's where later on in life you see people have trouble with marriages and areas like that because they stop growing. But if you're a believer in this place, you've got a constant challenge to growth, constantly. And sanctification is actually perpetrated through two things. Number one, the Word. And that the Word is Jesus. So Jesus is constantly changing. And number two, the Holy Spirit, who backs up everything the Word says and does. Amen? But he's part of that process. And I want to talk about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ. Who's in Christ? Give me a wave. And it goes on, he says, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and, everyone say and, has anointed us. You see, quite often people talk about the Spirit of Christ as everything, but in your life there are two things. There is the Spirit of Christ and there's an anointing on your life. Whenever you see the word anointing or understand the word anointing, it's another way to describe the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. Amen? He works in your life. And obviously we see the anointing. We could get someone who, we have a guy called Fergus McIntyre comes in. He's anointed prophet. And you see the anointing of the prophet operating. Amen? And we see that power. But there's an anointing on your life, the Holy Spirit's work on your life, to work internally to sanctify you. Are you with me? And you've got this anointing on you to change you. And it says, verse 22, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So let me just jump into that word anointing for a moment. Let me just tell you about the original practice of anointing. What actually, where it came from. The origins of the anointing came from a practice of shepherds. And what shepherds used to do in ancient times, they had sheep. Shepherds, sheep. I know, that's profound. Just take a moment to take that in. Back in the day, they had issues with things like ticks, insects, flies, other things that would crawl all over the head of a sheep. And quite often they would find their way through the nose passage and they would find their way into the ears. And obviously, any sort of fly or tick or insect, and they had other myriads of insects over there, what would happen is they would actually get into the ears and get into the sheep and infect it. And obviously it could either make them very sick or ultimately it could kill the sheep. So what the shepherds did of old, they would carry a mixture of olive oil in a clay vase or vessel. Everyone say vessel. And they would pour this oil all over the head of the sheep, and it would run all down over the ears and all over the nose. And so any insect that would try would get caught in this oil. Imagine oil and wool mixed together. Not good, right? Maybe you haven't imagined that. Maybe you've never seen that. I've got a spoodle. Spoodle hair is like sheep's hair. And I haven't anointed my spoodle, so don't go thinking I'm weird. But if I poured oil on the spoodle, I could tell you it would be a big mess, right? So I'm just giving you a visual here. Can you see it? My dog's name is Max. I might go home and try anointing him. Where's Marianne? Should we anoint the spoodle? Let's anoint the spoodle. Let's give it a go. Let's see if this works. So what it creates a mess. But what it actually did, it formed a layer of protection. Amen? Because the two areas were the ears and the nose. It would flow over there and the insects would get caught in the wool, in the oil, and the animal was protected. You know, when we see the anointing oil, we see the power, we see the gifts. But the reality is there's a whole other part of the anointing which is talking about the protection. Amen? For you as a believer in this place, what's your greatest threat to God growing you, the sanctification process? It's probably what you hear, right? It's what your eyes are seeing, right? It's the things that you watch. It's the words that you hear. And God's anointing on your life is something powerful. So there's two main functions that the Holy Spirit works with. And the first function is this area of an ancient, obviously they took, the shepherds took that practice, but they actually took that practice of anointing and they used it to anoint things. So they would sprinkle things. So if this was in the temple and then this was a holy table or something that was special, they would anoint it, sprinkle it with oil, and that would be a symbol of it being set apart and something special and something holy. Exodus 40 verse 9, it says, "Then you shall take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle and all that's in it and consecrate it and all its furnishings so that it became holy." Amen? And then they would do it with people. Leviticus 8 verse 30 says, "Then Moses took some of the anointing oil of the blood that was on the altar and sprinkled it on Aaron and his garments and also on his sons and his sons' garments. So he consecrated Aaron and his garments and his sons' garments with him." So what they do, they took this symbol of the Holy Spirit and they would put it on something that's holy to set them apart. And let me just talk about this, because the Holy Spirit, his anointing on your life is to set you apart. Are you with me? He is constantly working. We're going to get into some practical ways that the Holy Spirit is someone that is working constantly to get you set apart. And he's not trying to get you weird up in some cave up there in Katoomba and wearing weird clothing and humming by yourself and excluding yourself from life. That's not the weirdness that God's after. God is actually after, the Holy Spirit is trying to separate you from the sin in your life. Are you hearing me? From your past hurts, from the relationship mistakes you've made, from the things you've allowed in your life, from the maybe before you became a Christian, there's so many things that your life was involved in. Maybe the way you thought about yourself, your self-image, so many things that have polluted the way you think. The Holy Spirit is constantly trying to get you. The reason God doesn't want you to sin is not because he wants to rip you off from having what the world says is fun. Are you with me? It's because he wants to put you into a place where sin no longer affects you in that area, where you are free and able to do what he's called you to do. Because if you're thinking about sin, you're not thinking about God. Is that true? You want to wreck a really good sin time? Young person? You struggle with temptation, sexually, or what have you? Put on some worship music before you go meet that person. Go read the Bible just before you go for a date night or something like that or anything like that. Read the Bible. Start reading the Bible, and I'll tell you what, it'll give you protection. It'll start to make it harder for you to step into those areas you shouldn't. What sin does, it separates you from God. That's all it does. God hates it because it separates you from God. It doesn't separate you spiritually if you're a believer, amen, because you've got the forgiveness of God. But it separates your mind and your body and your emotions from God, and you start distancing yourself and you start to do what your sinful nature says. Amen? Are you with me? See, God wants to work. The Holy Spirit is constantly working to sanctify you. He works to set you apart. He wants you to be, the Bible calls you a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Why? Because you're set apart. And as soon as you allow yourself to be set apart, you start to think godly. Isn't that true? You know, the reason why it's coming up, I'll mention it. The reason why we love youth camps. Do you want to know the truth? Because we have 2.5 days to get those kids out of their world. Starts on a Sunday night and it's all like, you know, yeah, I don't know, I'm here. Parents sent me. Maybe friends are going to have some, going to muck up, going to do a few things. And you have a encounter with God and it's like, whoa, what was that? And then you're around the bonfire and someone starts singing Christian songs and you're not going home and watching YouTube that you used to or Netflix, and this is a young person, and you start to talk God, and then the next morning you get up, you have breakfast, and it's a bit more of God, and someone else talks God, then have another meeting and God gets in a little bit more, and then that night, bang, there's a big move of the Holy Spirit and you finally got to a place where you're not thinking about yourself and how cool you look, but you're actually thinking about God. And God, Holy Spirit gets in and your mind starts thinking. And the next morning you're all, wow, what was that? I had words, I had this. You get transformed. 2.5 days can do a lot. Why? Because you set yourself apart. Amen? It's not rocket science. How many people here have had an encounter on a youth camp? I remember my call to ministry, Armed and Dangerous, on my knees. 2-day event, God called me to ministry. First real touch. I'm not going to be touched by God. God's not going to touch me. Oh, this guy's going to pray for me. I'm going to keep standing. He's not going to do anything. What happened? What happened? Bang on the ground. It was like me. I'm like, oh, they're going to get me. And I go, amen? Holy Spirit is constantly working. I love him. You know what? You need to talk to him. Can I just, I want to go through some of the activities of the Holy Spirit, because some of you aren't aware how much he's involved in growing you. Can I go through? John chapter 16, verse 5, he's our helper. That word helper, wow. It says, it is to your advantage. This is Jesus talking, that I go away. Okay, he's gone. Some people I've heard, I've sat opposite a mainline person who goes, oh, the Holy Spirit's actually just the Spirit of Christ. Well, then who is Jesus talking about? Himself? He says, it's to your advantage that I go, because then the Holy Spirit's coming. Are you with me? He couldn't say, oh, I'll go, and then my own Spirit. No. And we understand that Father, Son, Holy Spirit are all one, okay? It's called the Trinity. I don't want to get in that. I want to mesh with your mind. The best way to understand the Trinity is water. All right? It's always been the best analogy. Water is still water, but it can be steam and it can be ice, but it's still water, right? Two different properties, three different properties. You've got water, ice, and steam. Three different properties, but they're still the same thing. If you break them down, it's still H2O. Are you with me? You put your hand on steam, ah. Put your hand on ice, oh. Put your hand on water, ooh. Three different properties, three different functions, three different personalities, yet still the same thing. So the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God, they can all co-function, but they do have different operations. Are you with me? So we come to this. So the Holy Spirit, he is working. So the first one, he says, Jesus says, it is to your advantage. Everyone say advantage, that I go away. For if, that was terrible. I thank you, Elizabeth. I heard you. I heard no one else. It's to your advantage. Ah, oh, that's better. That I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That word helper translated from the Greek, it comes from the word parakletos. Everyone say parakletos. I'm not Greek, so don't blame me. But that word literally has meanings. It uses the word advocate, which is someone that gives you defense in court. So the Holy Spirit is your advocate. So he's constantly on your defense. Isn't that awesome? You need to realize that. So when you're in a situation, the Holy Spirit is your advocate. That's a pretty good, you think the top lawyer is the best? Well, you've got the Holy Spirit. And you're up against something, Holy Spirit, you're my advocate. You're my defense. And he actually defends you before the throne. Are you hearing me? That's quite wild. But he actually defends you in every area. That word helper also means counselor. And you thought Mona was good. Mona uses the Holy Spirit. But imagine having Mona 24/7. But a complete God version, which is pretty close to who Mona is. Just quietly. Are you kidding? But you actually need to engage the Holy Spirit as your counselor. Are you hearing me? You need to start saying things like, Holy Spirit, give me some counsel here. I really need your help. Because he's actually sent to do that process. And the other part of that word we find translated in Job 16:2, it uses that word helper. He's your comforter. I can remember times where I've been overwhelmed by something a couple of times where I've just dropped in and said, Holy Spirit, I'm in pain, I'm in grief. And I know there was a stage in my life where it's like God just completely shielded my heart and I didn't feel any pain. And I know that was God until I got over it. Amen? Next thing the Holy Spirit does, he is a convictor of sin, righteousness, and judgment. This is important because it says in John 15, verse 8, says, and when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Amen? Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. Like I said before, when you're witnessing to someone, the Holy Spirit is giving us a pretty good idea of what we should be saying. He's convicting the world of their sin and that they will be judged and they need saving because of their need to accept the righteousness of Jesus. So when we're talking to people out unsaved, if the Holy Spirit is convicting them of all those three things, are you hearing me? We should be too. He's convicting them of their sin because they don't know Jesus and their judgment. And righteousness, why? Because they need God's right standing in their life so that they will not be judged. Amen? So the Holy Spirit's constantly doing that. And you talk to anyone that's got an evangelist heart. I've got a gentleman that's become friends with. And you have a talk to this gentleman, David Pollock. He talks to people constantly about Jesus. Every second week he's having an encounter, is that right? And you talk, and it's talking about the need that people need to be saved. The third thing the Holy Spirit does is he guides you into truth. Verse 12 says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into truth. If you're a spot, you're reading your Bible, and you're actually in a spot where you don't know what you're thinking, I've got no idea. Guess what? Try it. Holy Spirit, can you reveal your truth to me? How many people have tried that and it's worked? Amen? I promise you, he is there. Number four, he hears from the Trinity and speaks on your authority, on that authority. Verse 13 says, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Do you realize, I mean, this, you might not have computed this in your head, but how do you think the New Testament was written? Ephesians, Philippians, Galatians. How do you think it was written? Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, amen? They didn't have the New Testament. Are you with me? Paul didn't have the New Testament. Peter didn't. John didn't. Are you hearing me? Under the unction of the Holy Spirit, he heard everything Jesus said. And he put it through these, and under the power of the Holy Spirit, they wrote the letters of Ephesians, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Are you hearing me? And you know what? The Holy Spirit's got the same ability, not to rewrite the Bible, don't go there, but he's got the same ability to help you understanding the words of Jesus in his word. Amen? And some of us, we just need to back up and just say, Holy Spirit. And when you open that word, know that it is Jesus. It's the Jesus. It's the word and the Holy Spirit that sanctify you. And they two are operating together. And when you get that word, just allow the Holy Spirit to bring it to life to you. Don't just read a verse. Go, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say? What are you trying to bring out? What about Jesus? He tells us the future, number five. Verse 13, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell things to come. Amen? Who loves a prophetic word? Number six, he glorifies Jesus and does not act alone, but speaks on behalf of the Trinity. Verse 14, he will glorify me, For he will take of what is mine, Jesus says, and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you, Jesus said. The Holy Spirit will constantly declare what the Father, Jesus, has said. The Holy Spirit is working to glorify Jesus. Number seven, he is our teacher, John 14, 25 to 26. And these things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you. If that isn't good enough, let's go with the last one, number eight. And he only teaches, listen to this, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things. And, everyone say and, bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. So he reminds you. So when you're sitting there in a situation and you've read the Word of God and you say, God, I need some comfort, I need some strength, I need the truth of the Word, he'll bring a spirit, he'll bring a verse into your spirit, amen? Who's had that happen? You're facing a trial, you're facing something, and a spirit of a verse pops in your head. Guess what? That's the Holy Spirit. Don't take it for granted. Amen? Galatians 5, 16 to 25. Can I just say this? You show me someone filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. You show me someone that's led, who lives a life led by the Holy Spirit. And you won't just see the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy and miracles. What you actually see is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because he's working on sanctification. You show me someone who works with the Holy Spirit and talks and allows them to work in their lives. Verse 22 of Galatians 5:16 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Amen? That's what he's trying to do. You show me a godly person that's affected by the Spirit of God, and I'll show you someone who's got meekness, gentleness. They're not causing trouble. They're not stirring up areas. I've seen people claim to have the power of God, but they're involved in contentions and dissensions and attacking this and attacking that and involved in this and involved in that and are causing disarray. You show me someone who's filled with the Spirit of God, and I'll show you someone who's got a beautiful heart and they're just amazing to be around. Amen? The Christ-like. And the last function, the reason why God sets you apart, the Holy Spirit sets works on this place, is because he wants to anoint you for a purpose. Two reasons that people were anointed of old. One, to set someone apart, and two, for a purpose. Exodus 29, verse 7. He'll take the anointing oil, pour it on his head, and anoint him. 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 6. He arose and went into the house, and the young man poured the oil on his head, saying to him, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anoint you king over the people of Israel, talking about David. See, God wants to set you apart. The Holy Spirit is working constantly so that he can release you into the purpose he has for you. Amen? Don't ever, ever underestimate how the Holy Spirit is working towards what he's going to do in your life. Don't ever think you're beyond being used by God to do great things. Let me use the word significant things. Amen? Sometimes in our heads we think great things, we have to be on a stage or be. But the reality is God wants us to do significant things. You might end up in a closet praying thousands to the kingdom of God. That's significant, amen? The world might not know your name. The church might not know your name. They might even know who, what, where, and how you are. But you've caused a tide to change in the spiritual. Amen? You might be a captain of business or industry doing amazing things, giving to the kingdom of God. Not everyone knows that. But God's using you powerfully. Amen? Why don't we stand to our feet? I love what Jesus said. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Jesus talking. He's talking about the Holy Spirit. Because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captive, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Amen? Jesus knew exactly what he was called to do. That was his mission statement. Let the Holy Spirit work in your life, friend. He's beautiful. And I pray in this room, I've encouraged you. Don't get complicated in your head about whether you're talking to Jesus or the Holy Spirit. You know what I mean? I know sometimes I went through that where you think, am I asking Jesus for this and the Holy Spirit for that? Look, it's okay that the communication's worked out. But the reality is the Holy Spirit is a personality. And I know in those areas in the Word of God, if the Word of God says he's my helper, the Word of God says that he helps me, he teaches me the Word of God, brings it to remembrance, well, I'm going to ask him. If Jesus said, I'm sending you a helper, it's good that I go learn from those words. And when you're in a situation, just go, Holy Spirit. And I tell you what, you'll start to hear his voice. Whatever he says into your life is, trust me, it's been approved by Jesus. He doesn't say anything without it. Amen? We declared that. Without it coming from authority. He only declares that which is the Father and which is Jesus. He'll never. But the reality is, he is there and he's real and he sent as your helper and you need him every single day. You want to change? You want to grow? Don't do it on your own. Don't read the Bible on your own. I mean that. Sure, read the Bible with your family. But read the Bible with the help of the Holy Spirit. How many people actually, actively, when you come to a verse and you go, I don't get that, actually ask the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth? Come on, raise your hand. Who's been doing that? I've been doing that for years. And I find there's plenty of people that just don't. And I'm going, well, you should. And if you're sitting in a place and you're opposite someone and they're sharing a need with you, just go, Holy Spirit, give me a scripture. Give me a verse for these people. And you know what? If you know enough of the word, he'll bring it to remembrance. That's why it's good to memorize it. Amen? So if you just close your eyes for a moment. I know I've gone slightly over, but I just wanted to finish this and not have to pick it up again. God, I just pray for everyone in this room. God, in these last moments, I want you just to be completely selfish for a moment. Just think about yourself. Don't think about the person next to you. I want to ask a very important question. We ask this every week, but that doesn't diminish how important this question is. I want to ask you if you know Jesus in a real personal way. Not about him, not about God, but you have a relationship with Jesus. And if you're so confident of that relationship with Jesus that you have complete security that if anything did happen to you, you know that you are going to heaven. You know that you're in a relationship. You know that eternity is assured because of that relationship. If you have any doubt whatsoever, then I'm talking to you because we don't want you to leave this premises without having the opportunity of meeting Jesus Christ and entering into a real authentic relationship. Or maybe you're in this room and if you are completely honest, you've been living away from God. You'd literally just been walking in the opposite direction to a decision you made a while ago, and it's time to recommit yourself, which means turn around and start walking in the right direction to recommit yourself afresh this morning. Those are the two people I'm talking to, and what I want to do right now, I'm going to pray a prayer, and we're all going to pray that prayer together in this place because it's important. And I want you, if you're praying that for the first time or as a rededication, to pray it honestly and sincerely from your heart. Let's do it. Dear Lord Jesus, I accept you today as my personal Lord and Savior. I accept that you died on the cross for me. Except that you love me. And I accept that today I need your forgiveness of my sins and that I accept your righteousness, that I have right standing before God because of you, Jesus. I accept today that eternity is placed in my heart, that as your Bible says, my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that I'm a Christian, which means Christ in me. Come into my life, Jesus. Amen. Every eye closed, moment longer. If you prayed that at a rededication, or just first time salvation, just slip your hand up. With everyone closed, slip your hand up. Just give me a wave. Yeah, take a moment. Raise your hand if that's you. We'd love to just meet with you after the service. I'm not going to embarrass you. Just raise your hand. Spirit of God. Okay. And God, we just pray. God, I just pray for your Holy Spirit, that we would recognize you, Holy Spirit, in our lives, that you are working in so many ways and you've got so much function in our world. And God, I just pray for all of us that we would recognize and we would cooperate with you, Holy Spirit. That we would allow you to change us the way that you want to change us, so that you can release us into the purpose, the very reason that we were created. We thank you, Jesus. In your mighty name, and everybody said, amen. That is it. Couple of things. First of all, life groups this week. So I encourage you to go part up. We've got a ladies' life group here on Tuesdays. They meet around 10:30. Great women's group. And we've got life groups. If you got the desk up there, we've got life groups all over this area. So I really encourage you to be a part of it. The Holy Spirit, you know, works in and through us getting together. Amen? So I encourage you to be a part of that. The other thing is, yeah, we're getting our carpet tiles relaid and we need some help to get all these chairs and everything out into that foyer. So if you can hang around and help for that, that would be amazing. If you're new or visiting with us, please let us spoil you to a latte or a cappuccino. God bless you, church. Have a great rest of your Sunday and week. Amen.